Locked and operated on Milton Avenue across from the post office. Quality flooring backed by service you can stand on. Your community. Your opinions. Your forum. This is your talk show on WCLO. Opinions expressed on your talk show are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of WCLO or Big Radio staff, management, or sponsors. The open phone and text line number is 608-752-4000. Now, here's the host of your talk show, Tim Bremmel.
Decide what to do yet? Sorry.
Did you have a couple spots that have been bumped forward? I was ready to play them or read the weather or something.
I was late getting back to my seat here. Let's set the stage here just briefly because I want to get back to this piece about the elections and mail-ins and that kind of thing, just so everybody knows. But you can certainly weigh in on anything that Jay had to say. Somebody texted just before he left, and I just clarified and got the answer to the question, which is, can the city deny certain businesses from building or taking over an existing site, specifically instant loans, vape shops, adult establishments? Those things indicate a community in decline to me. In the places I've traveled, those places are not in thriving places, and they can, to a degree that the zoning restricts it or allows it. So, you know, can you, could you open a adult bookstore, if you will, or whatever you're going to call those establishments, on Milton Avenue in one of the vacant places right now? Without looking at the zoning code, I can't tell you. But the zoning code would tell you, and I would hope, and this is where, again, people that, you know, have an interest in city government, certainly, especially as they have rewritten the zoning code of what it looks like now, that if that's zoned B2 for businesses or R2 or retail, I'm not sure what it's zoned, but that in that definition, these are the kinds of, these are the allowances that can be there, and these are the ones that can't. It's tough to drill down and get specific to any one type of business. It's the discussion that we had about the GM Jacko site in zoning. Can you say, oh, we zone it as industrial, whatever category it is, and so everything can be there, but no data site, no data centers. That one category of business we just forbid. Well, then you are, now you've become a government entity in the business of picking winners and losers, which is not their role. So then I believe they're on the right approach with this side ordinance that would say, if it is a data center that is seeking to develop there, we have rules for data centers. Here they are. We have rules for car plants. Here they are. Whatever those things may be, those can be done as ordinances governing the operation of particular businesses. Hopefully that covers that. Tim, was your mention of Milton Avenue in any way related to the god-awful stretch of road from Highway 14 to almost McCormick Drive? That would be the infamous, what do they call that thing? Diverging Diamond, I'm guessing. Not specifically. Like I said, I've gotten to the point. I know there's a lot of people that still hate them. I just don't understand the hullabaloo that the DOT is making about how these are the greatest things in sliced bread when all they are is just a confusing weaving. I just follow the lines is all I can hope to do. I can't say that, oh my gosh, traffic flows so much better now because the people wanting to turn left don't have to wait. I just don't see the benefit. Now, somebody from DOT is probably going to want to come on and quote me the numbers because they got guys sitting there counting cars. And okay, I'm willing to acquiesce that I don't know, but yes, it just feels like, wow, that was an awful lot of work so that a guy could turn left faster.
Yeah, and someone almost always texts in when we have this conversation that it actually the numbers prove. So I'll try and find, prove that they're safer. I think they probably are for a roundabout. I think the we don't know for certain on a diverging diamond. And cars, because the lights are long, cars barrel through those intersections.
Oh, yeah. And it's weird if you get caught in the middle of it, you know, as it weaves, it crosses traffic, and then you got a few hundred feet, and then it crosses it back again, going back the other way.
Yep.
And sometimes you get caught in the middle of there.
Right, and then there's a short light, and it's unsure as to where you would stop. But the fact that traffic barrels through it because they don't want to get caught in a long light is significant. People from our town are flabbergasted when it's the first time they're on it. And it's a very, very confusing intersection.
I digress a little bit, but only in deference to the texture, because I do think my wife and I were having this conversation because they're putting a roundabout in my way. That's what I call them now. When I got to go between point A and point B, and now there's a new roundabout there. They're putting a roundabout in my way at Highway 213 in County Q, down north of Beloit, which is how I always go to Beloit. So now there's going to be a roundabout there. Yee-haw. I believe that basically what I see over time is that, yes, there are fewer severe injury, T-bone crashes at intersections. But I've also seen that there are more crashes. They just don't result in the level of injury. Now, I don't know if either of them is true for sure. Certainly not the second one, I don't know for sure. I need somebody from the DOT who has the numbers, and I suppose we can try and find those people, but they're hard to get for an interview. But ancillarily, yeah, I would say that that's the deal. And so you've made, I don't know, you've made auto insurance carriers happier and my rates go up because there's more fender benders that got to be fixed, but at least we're not sending people to the hospital. I don't know. I just know that I am a creature of habit, that I don't like them. I'm sorry. It's one man's opinion. It means nothing, but I know there's, I commiserate with my cohorts who say I don't like them either. So
we do have left turn arrows throughout town.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what we had there prior. And were there really that many like T-bone crashes because somebody's making a left turn into oncoming traffic on a green left turn arrow?
Well, and again, I think there's two distinctions, Tom, and I could be wrong about this, but see what you, the diverging diamond, I was told, was all about traffic flow. It wasn't so much about safety. The roundabouts are supposedly safety features.
Slow people down.
So the diverging diamonds were largely for the left turners, and that if you had a left turn arrow and, you know, there's usually then that extra lane that you would get cars that would back up into the straight lane that wanted to turn left because there was only room for 3, 4, 5 cars there. And then that was impeding traffic flow when the straight light would go because people were backed up to turn left into the, okay, maybe all that's true. I just know that when you drive in a high traffic area, it's going to be a nightmare anyway, and I'll just deal with it. whatever right. yeah. you do.
I mean, especially
you
if you go into a town you're not used to, right? It's always a little difficult getting used to. I used to travel a lot, right? And so it's like, okay, this is a weird intersection. This is a weird intersection. So AI does say that DDIs, diverging diamond interchanges, are considered significantly safer for drivers than conventional diamond interchanges. I don't know what a conventional diamond interchange is. They reduce overall vehicle conflict points by nearly 50% from around 26 down to 14. So,
but this
I still think, Tim, 20 years from now, we'll rip it up and we'll go back to whatever is the latest thing.
When you apply mathematical formulas to people, I just don't think they work. I think I've mentioned this, and I want to get... We're on this topic now. I see this thing on social media all the time about when there's construction and there's the signs that say merge left, we're going down to one lane, and the DOT, it's the DOT who puts this out that says do not merge early. And I just want to rip my computer apart and go, no, because I'm the type of person that if I have done what it says, move over, we're going down to one lane. And so I move over, I get slowed down, I get into the bigger traffic of the other lane, the open lane, and I'm doing what I thought was the right thing. And then at the 11th hour and 59 minute, the little whatever car goes vroom, flying by me and then sits up there and tries to nose their way in right at the very last second. That obviously upsets me. but the DOT would say, no. Everyone just wait until the last second. And they show this beautiful diagram. But the diagram is based on the fact that people are following the prescribed distance limit between cars. And I would like someone to tell me when on a crowded stretch of roadway is anyone following? Because isn't it a car length for every 10 miles an hour, Tom?
I believe that's what it was. Yep.
So at 60 miles an hour, there should be room for six cars between you and the car in front of you. And there's never, in my experience, that maybe two. And when it bunches up, it gets even tighter than that. So it doesn't. Yes, it would be a beautiful flow if there's that space. And so I get there and I just merge in and I cut that space from six to three and the next guy merges. But that's not how it works in real life, regardless of what they statistically analyzed. And I think that's the problem with a lot of these traffic things. They can give you, just like the stats you quoted for the diverging diamond, they can give you those. But in practice, that's not what most of us see.
Right. I think it takes the human element out of it. It just crunches numbers. I mean, people are going to do what people are going to do, and sometimes that causes road rage. But I still think that years from now, we will look back and say, how much money did we spend on this diverging diamond, and let's get rid of it.
Well,
look, Tim, I'm going to go back to what I said. We have left turn arrows all over town. Are there that many crashes at a left turn arrow that we needed to completely redo this intersection? Because that's why they did it. They
supposedly.
Right. And it's the same way on the one on town. The one down at Avalon, you were supposed to be able to make a no-stop right turn on red or right turn when you come into that intersection. And they put up a stop sign because that wasn't working.
I just think that, yes, the human element is removed from all of this study type stuff, and then it doesn't work, and it just makes people frustrated, and it becomes a source of good conversation, probably. But, so take the new example that I just said earlier. So going down 213 right now, if you're going south on 213 from 11 or any point north of Beloit, and you get to the point just north of Beloit where County Q crosses, 213 has no stop sign. You just keep going. There are stop signs on Q. I go that way, not every day, obviously, but frequently enough. I have never seen more than two cars waiting, lined up at the stop sign to cross 213 on Q in either direction. So it's not a matter of traffic flow. So then it has to be safety. It has to be that on occasion, somebody either blows the stop sign or pulls out while not paying attention and then gets crashed into by somebody that's traveling 60 miles an hour on 213. Well, whose fault is that? The person who didn't obey the stop sign. So now we're going to look at that just from a statistical standpoint and say, well, maybe we can reduce deaths. And reducing car deaths is an admirable quality. I get it. But you're trying to, what ends up happening, I think, is you reward irresponsibility by making, you know, everybody pay for it. So now, rather than, you know, explore any other alternative, they're going to put a roundabout in down there. And everybody's going to get slowed down to 12 miles an hour or whatever it takes to navigate a roundabout. And there won't be as many high-impact crashes, although I'm not aware that there are a ton down there, but that's what they're doing. And you wonder, well, then why not, you know, couldn't we just put four stop signs down there? Well, I don't know. Apparently people blow through stop signs. A roundabout is designed so you can blow through it because you don't have to stop. There is no stop sign. There's a yield sign, which people sometimes miss, and they don't understand that that car is not turning out of the roundabout at the last opportunity. I don't know whether they're good or bad. I just know that if I could get in my time machine, one of the things I would enjoy is just not seeing any roundabouts on my route anymore. But
so Belle is on, and she wants to weigh in on these traffic situations.
All right. Belle, good morning.
Good morning. I so agree with you. That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard of on that road in particular. Now, there may be major areas that this would do something for, but that we're in an older community. People who have traveled that road probably for 40 and 50 years, they're going to hit that and they're going to ignore it. They're going to ignore it and then cause some grief because they don't. That's me. Not that I'm going to ignore it, but I mean, it's terrible. You know, put another bloody stop sign up there or something. But, you know, they who has the concrete concession? Who's getting paid for this? Because for what it's going to do, it's not going to help a whole heck of a lot of people. Now, somebody's going to come on, and I hope they do, tell me how many accidents have been there and that they think that that's going to help.
Yep. I thanks for feeling my pain, Bill. I appreciate the call. I know time marches forward, and people try to do the good thing. And I'm not accusing anybody of, you know, impropriety that's looking at roundabouts and how they deal with traffic and all that kind of stuff. I just know that change is hard for me. And I know that I like being able to sail down 213 into the northern area of the western side of Beloit there. When I get to just before Woodman's, I simply take my foot off the gas and I slow down to the it goes to 50 to 45 to something. I'm basically fine. I'm unimpeded. Life is good. And I also know that if I am coming from the other side of Beloit going home and I come up Q to turn on 213, then I'm always going to have to stop. I'm okay with both of those. So I don't know the reason for the change, but whenever there's the opportunity now to change an intersection to a roundabout, it seems like that's what the state does.
Pat wants to weigh in on this.
All right, Pat, good morning.
Good morning. I agree with you. I agree with Belle. I do know some history of that intersection. There was a bad, bad crash a number of years ago, and a woman died. But it was also determined that she was on her cell phone when she tried to cross 213 and was broadsided by a semi. We got state funds to do something, and therefore, they think we ought to do it. It's state cleared all the brush, all the living things out of that intersection. That big house is for sale because there's going to be a roundabout there. Why?
Because I don't know. I appreciate the sentiment. I appreciate people commiserating with me.
Because we can, Tim.
Well, because we can, and because we have abandoned the idea that people should be responsible for their own actions. Now, now I'll be accused of being some horrible person for not caring about the deaths and carnage on Wisconsin highways. And that's not me at all. I do care about that. But you're making it easier for the inconsiderate, dumb people to continue being inconsiderate and dumb. Because now I can be on my cell phone while I try and navigate the roundabout because everybody's going slow enough that they're not going to kill me if they hit me. I don't understand the logic behind it, I guess, is what's really frustrating to me. And I'm not saying people should die from being on their cell phones in the car. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But what's to say? You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. You're behind the wheel of a bullet that's moving 60 miles an hour. You need to be alert at what you're doing. And on occasion, we all fail. And that's part of the risk reward of being able to drive. If you really don't ever want to be in an auto crash, don't get in an automobile. But otherwise, you take your own life into your own hands, and everybody else does, and we all hope that we're all obeying the rules of the road. But the answer now is not to, you know, step up enforcement to make sure that if anybody's on their cell phone, they get such a high fine that they're never going to do it again. The answer is to build a roundabout, and then they can be on their cell phone, and it just won't be as horrible of a crash. I don't know. I didn't mean to go off on traffic today, but that's kind of where we go sometimes. I'll follow the crowd, if you will. I'll follow you in open phone time. We do need to get out of here, and we'll take up this Wisconsin Election Commission thing. They're not going to be able to change anything before the August election anyway, I don't think. But we'll talk about that because it's important. We are in the stage where you can already be voting, and we're just beginning our candidate interviews, by the way, starting tomorrow. So
we have Lisa Tollefson, who will come in on Monday. And if Mr. Mansky clarifies whether he will be in at 10 o'clock or not, let me know as soon as you can so I can clarify with Lisa as to whether she could come in at 10 or 10:30.
All right. So we should have Lisa in one way or the other. Andy Mansky, we're talking with all the campaigns. This is beginning to be like herding cats, by the way. So we'll try to give you some direction as to where and when you can find out about candidates in the primary races that are contested, but it's going to be a little hit and miss, I'm afraid. So we'll leave it at that. Do you need a break here before we get to the news?
Just I could take one, sure.
Yeah, because we've been a little behind all morning due to somebody's inability to read a clock. I don't know who that would be, but it might be me. We'll be back tomorrow at 9:10 right here on WCLO. Janesville Beloit, have a good day.
Some things can steal your sunshine.
Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
A debit card from Educators Credit Union is more than just a debit card. It's a rewards card that allows you to earn and redeem points right in your neighborhood. Want to save money at the pump? Use your Educators reward points for that. Looking to save on select online purchases? Your Educators rewards points work there too. So what are you waiting for? Become a member of Educators Credit Union at ecu.com or your local Janesville or Beloit branch. Insured by NCUA, membership eligibility required.
Alvino's here from Barclays Burgers, Brews, and Dogs on West Court Street in Janesville with the Savings and Cravings menu item of the month.
That's right, Begzer. Our July feature of the month is the Sweet Carolina Burger with Fries. Third pound burger, cheddar and pepper jack cheese, bacon, slaw, and of course, Sweet Carolina sauce.
Sweet Carolina, bum, bum, bum. Barclays Burgers, Brews, and Dogs.
So good, so good, so good.
See you soon, my friends.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we know you do things your way. So why shop the same retail giants as everyone else when we have unbeatable deals on the products you need and trust to get the job done and save you money? Right now, during our summer feed sale, 50-pound bags of AgriMaster Layer Poultry Feed are just $10.99. Save 15% on Hillman Hardware. And 50-pound Champion's Choice Salt Blocks, just $6.49. Find value for the work you do every day. Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Be an original.